The program is Lawrence and Taylor, and it's time for it to start one again. Once again, I was just looking over there and saw you leaning over your keyboard.
Yes.
Looking over there going, okay, Roger has collapsed on his keyboard. This is good. Just as the show starts.
No, I was adjusting my headphone volume.
We didn't think you were in trouble.
Good. Don't call 911.
Well, I was kind of hoping we didn't have to stop you from drooling on the keyboard.
He's taking a short nap.
You know, it's a power nap, you know, it's a little siesta.
One of my all-time favorite movies, George Segal stars in it, and it's called Where's Papa? And it's this son taking care of his older, much older mother. And to make a long story short, at one point in a dinner with his girlfriend, she falls forward into her plate of food, and he just says, not to worry, Mom's taking a nap. and just a minute later, her head popped up, and he was right.
But, there you go.
I was just taking a nap.
Okay. Well, anyway, in case you're wondering, that is Roger, who is napping on his keyboard.
Yes. So. Resting up for the show.
That really explains the last email you sent me.
Just a bunch,
okay, now I know.
Just a bunch of letters and make no sense whatsoever. No autocorrect in there to, you know, form some really strange sentences.
No, that only happens on your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
and on some tablets.
Yeah.
You know, I looked at that and was like, oh, Roger sharing his password with me again.
The very complicated password.
Yes. And it has both upper and lower case letters,
numbers,
alphanumeric.
Yes, of
it's
course.
Perfect. Yeah.
It's perfect.
Not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
No.
And you couldn't reproduce it again if you tried.
Right. So it's by definition perfectly secure.
Yes, yeah, secure so where you can't even get into it yourself.
It's being Roger-proof.
Yes.
But also we have
Michael Loudon.
The Wonder Producer.
There you go. Okay.
It's an even day. It's my job.
Is it an even day? We were having that discussion the other day when we weren't here, and we didn't know quite what to do.
No, even days, it's my job. Odd days, it's yours.
Okay. All right.
So
sadly, it was an even day when you were gone, so nothing got done.
Yeah. We just sat here in silence for 5 seconds.
Like, yeah.
He's Michael, and there he is.
Yeah. There's Michael. Okay. Yep.
All right. Well, Michael, I hope that you have dusted off your dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia.
Oh, I better get some ready.
Okay. Well, that being the case, we won't do a giveaway right now.
Okay.
I wasn't going to do one now.
We'll
anyway.
Wait till you're fully prepared.
Okay.
There you go. So when Michael's ready.
Yes.
In the meantime, I think we'll just kind of wait around.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Just ready now? Oh, wait a minute. I haven't even asked the question yet.
Okay, anyway.
You should play the Jeopardy theme.
When he finally gets ready, whenever that happens, we've got some movie tickets. There's a movie that opens up this weekend.
Ah.
And you could go and see this wonderful movie at the Celebration Cinema.
You said you were intrigued by this movie.
Intrigued enough to, I don't know that I'm going to end up at the theater to see this one.
Uh-huh.
But the preview looked mildly interesting.
Cool.
So it's called That Awkward Moment.
I've been in some of those.
Me too.
We're having one right now. But we're going to be giving away tickets for that a little later, whenever Michael gets around to it.
Yeah.
You know,
you'll let us know when you're ready.
Yeah, I'll let you know when we're ready.
Hopefully he's not ready at like 9 o'clock tonight or something, you know, because then we'll all be out of luck.
Our job is to serve our producer.
I'll just have to come to the station. Breaking news, we got trivia here.
I'm ready. I know my special purpose.
He calls me tonight at home. Yes, I've got some. You're a little late.
Yes.
Okay, other things. We're going to be talking about, did you know that there is a certain political philosophy that leads apparently to more drinking than others? And we won't talk about which side that is that drinks more often, but I tell you what, I'm not surprised.
But me either.
We'll talk about that here a little later. Also, some good things going on at Western Michigan. I want to mention that a little later in the program.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
People can be nice to people.
Apparently. It happens from
time to
time.
It's hard to believe.
Also, And I got to get this up in front of me here so that I can talk about this. But video of the day. Been doing this for a little while now. And, boy, we've done some good stuff. The in-flight safety video from Delta. And today, the video, I've titled it Cantori Knows Karate.
Yeah, well,
and we talked a little bit about the video yesterday.
He knows knees.
Yeah.
He knows right where to put that knee.
Yes. You know?
And to see just the things he's put up with over the years, I mean, this one to me, I mean, I have a whole new respect for the guy now. Just, you know, he can even handle college students.
He didn't miss a beat.
No, he kept the report going. So it's a rather short video, but a good one.
Yes.
Every bit as good as yesterday's 5-minute whopper, as it were. So check it out for yourself and see what Jim Cantori did when he was in South Carolina recently.
It was very interesting.
It was. And worthy of a few watches, because it really doesn't take that long. It's like 30 seconds maximum to get the feel for what it was that was going on. So you need to check that out. We've got that posted at our website, WKZO.com. Also, if you are hooked up with us on Facebook, we've actually posted it there as well. So you can go to our Facebook page and check it out there. And if you haven't liked us on Facebook, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I just have to ask. You're remiss.
Get with the program.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. We'll quote Michael on that one. He said, get with the program. That way when management comes to me, no, I didn't say it, really. No, yeah, it was him.
That was Michael.
Go back and listen to the tape.
I roll. and we're going to talk to Bob Larson.
Yes.
We've got another severe weather alert. And
apparently.
We'll find out exactly how alert we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was over once the polar vortex part due went by, but apparently not.
Roger, there's this thing called winter that takes place. It goes through, some people would say it could even go through as much as May, but here's hoping it doesn't happen.
Yes.
Some of these piles, I'm thinking about how I could carve them into 4th of July. patriotic things.
Why not?
Yeah, they're some of them will still be here.
At the very least, they'll last till Memorial Day.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That would be good.
And those would be the dirty snow piles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The ones you really want to just lay in and make snowing.
Yes.
So anyway, in and among all of that stuff, we're going to be talking about the weather, not just Jim Cantori's video, but the actual weather. And we're going to be talking about snow.
Yes. And what to do with it once you've got it.
And the other thing that we'll talk about as well is what schools should do now that they've taken all this time off.
You know, there's a theme through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Snow.
Yeah.
That's what's affecting the schools.
I guess, yeah. It's just, believe me, it's affecting me as well.
Yeah.
But, the schools are dealing with it because how many snow days have they taken? And, you know, just if you think about it here in just the last, month?
Yeah.
They've probably, I don't want to say they've had as much time off as they've had on, but I said something to my son the other day. I was like, did you enjoy your 6-day weekend?
Hey, you lived in the South. In Louisiana, do they have days built into their school schedule for ice and it's cold, we aren't going to school today, kind of thing?
Ice and snow, not so much. I mean, they don't expect that kind of thing. But if a hurricane shows up, then they take days off. But days off are a rarity there.
So they don't plan and build that into their schedules?
I think there are some built in, because there were days that my son was off of school when he was there, but it was mostly about, a hurricane's coming, we really don't need you here.
Okay.
So they do build in some. They don't do it specifically with the idea of, you know what, we're going to get snow and ice, because they just don't get that.
Right.
They absolutely don't get that.
That's what the mayor of Atlanta said.
Yeah.
Pretty much. No,
we don't get snow here.
And then they blame the weathermen.
Yeah.
No, I did see that. I was like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's fun to just kind of chuckle and make light of it a little bit because we're so used to, I mean, we're sitting on, what, 60 inches of snow that we've gotten since the beginning of winter. But I have to admit I feel for them a little bit because they just don't get that kind of snow. They're not ready for it. They don't have the salt sitting out. They don't build roads the same way that we do here either.
Right.
You know, so the roads, when something gets on there, guess what? It sticks.
Yeah.
And it just stays there. So,
well, and they build steeper bridges and things because it isn't slippery
there. They can do that.
And yeah.
In fact, in the area of Louisiana I was living there, and I think I was telling you about this the other day.
A 24-mile bridge.
Yeah, it's like 22-mile bridge that's a part of I-10 in that area. And that particular bridge, as you can imagine, was closed.
Uh-huh.
I saw a picture of it, and it was ice covered. You could see it, and it was from one of those traffic cameras. So you know that obviously they're not preparing for snow and ice because 22-mile bridge. That's not going to be a problem there. You know, rain and flooding would be a bit more of a problem.
That's why they built the bridge. I'm suspecting.
Yes. Well, it was a giant swamp that it goes over.
Yeah.
So
they don't build in time there.
They build, I'd say, un poquito.
Okay.
But not a ton.
Okay.
So, chances are this is going to be a problem all over the country.
Well, you know, we're making fun of Atlanta, but if your kids spent the night in a school bus with it being really cold out there, how frustrated might you be?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have kids. I can't identify. But if I did, I think I'd be frustrated a little.
Well, you'd be a little frustrated. But at the same time, you're thinking, okay, my kid's on a bus clear over there. There is no way I can get there because the roads are a mess. And you just got to go, well, okay. You know, they're in the hands of responsible adults, and you just got to roll with it. That's the best way you can do it.
You put your child in the hands of those responsible adults on a daily basis.
Certainly.
And the fact they couldn't get home that night, there was somebody you trusted in the first place, or your kid wouldn't have been there.
It's not like a Lord of the Flies situation anything. No, it's certainly not that. You know what? Before we continue here, it looks like Thomas is on the line from Ross Center. Thomas, glad you joined us today. Welcome.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Thank you.
He called us gentlemen again.
You guys talking about the weather and stuff down south down there. Quite a number of years ago, my oldest son moved to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, his wife, my daughter-in-law, was in the house, and here come her daughter, about noon, home from school. And Marcia says, Nicole, what are you doing home? She kind of shrugged her shoulders and said, it's snowing somewhere in Cabarrus County. So, like you guys said there yesterday, the minute there's a snowflake or almost a forecast, they shut her down, Everything just comes to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
And I just thought I'd like to share that with you.
Well, thank you.
Okay, all right.
And Atlanta would be a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Of shutting everything down.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, I understand, and Atlanta I don't quite get. I know it's pretty far south, so that maybe they're not as prepared. But I understand it if you get into the mountains or a place where there's a lot of valleys and twists and turns and that kind of thing. Got relatives in Tennessee, and they talk about, when the snow comes down, it's really not that big a deal in the valleys and that kind of thing, but up on the mountains, forget it.
Well,
you're not getting
out
of there.
Up in the mountains, they get a lot more snow.
Mm-hmm. And it stays.
So,
if that snow comes down, we got kids up there. They can't make it to school, so we're out for the week. We're done,
But, Atlanta got hit by a snowstorm like this just 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's unheard of.
Yeah.
The same mayor was there 2 years ago when the town fell to pieces because it snowed.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are 2 years later. And
doesn't happen quite as often, though. I've talked to some people down south, and they aren't prepared for it. And they think, okay, it comes along once. That was a fluke. Comes along again.
Two
that
flukes.
Was a fluke. Wow. You know.
Who knew it was going to snow?
Yeah, that'll never happen again. So, all right. We got George on the line. George, welcome.
Hello.
Hi. George.
I'm a veteran of the 11th Atlanta storm.
You have to say that again, George.
Yeah, you got a little scrambled there, George. Say that again.
Back in January of 11, they had the same thing happen down there.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And we were there for a convention, and it was fun. We were the only ones that not a driver brave enough to go out and drive. We had a rental car. we're cruising around, and other people looking at us like we're crazy, you know, what the heck you doing? It's fun. They don't have the equipment, like they said, the snow plows and the salt spreaders and all that. If Roger's an old farm boy, maybe he might know what an old lime truck looks like around here that had a box on the back with a spreader that threw fertilizer and lime out.
Oh, yeah.
They were driving down the street with this lime truck spreading sand and salt. And we passed them, you know. I said, you know, what a take. And, you know, we got quite spattered on the rental car. So before we took it back, we had to wash it. Well, all the car washes were either froze or shut down. We ended up washing it with a paper cup and a paper towel in the parking lot of the hotel.
Oh, boy.
It snowed. It probably was more than this time, I think. It started on Sunday night. Well, we were having a Michigan Farm Bureau party, and by the time we got out of there, you know, at 11 o'clock to go back to our hotel, there was at least 6-7 inches on the ground. The locals didn't know what to do. You know, they were standing in their windows looking like, what's this? And we went back, and we were in the hotel over that expressway that goes back down through town, and there'd be semis going down through there at about 40, 45, and then the local guys would be going by about 10 or 15 in the right-hand lane. Somebody got stalled. It never got bet where the cars were on the road abandoned, but it was fun watching the traffic for 2 days through town. We were in the hotel. It had all the Delta pilots, and every morning at about 5:30, they'd all go down to the lobby, see canceled on the board, and they knew they had a free day.
All right. George, thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
We have a traffic issue,
okay,
according to Michael.
All mm-hmm. right. He just likes to butt into the show, I think.
But, I do.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. We have two traffic issues. There's an accident at the intersection of East Main and Sprinkle Road. And the other one, there's a spinoff in the left lane on eastbound I-94 under the M-40 interpass.
Okay.
All right.
And, you know, talking about not being well-equipped, the lime spreader that mm-hmm. George was talking about, I was in southern Texas, and I can't remember the interstate number, but their idea was a guy standing in the back of a pickup truck going about 10 miles an hour throwing shovels full of sand out of the back of the truck.
Yeah, well. I guess it might do it.
Yeah, possibly. It'll just end up in piles on the road.
It'll eventually get spread out, right?
Yeah. With yeah, cars driving over it.
There you go. Maybe when the ice melts, it'll all spread around everywhere. We'll continue ahead. It's Lawrence and Taylor. We got you right here with us. Make sure you stick around. Wow, Michael, I didn't know you could dance to Led Zeppelin like that.
I don't know. I'm just trying something out.
You dance like a white boy.
Well, yes. That's why I won Class Dancer.
You're very rhythmic. Not.
Yes. Not.
Not in the least sense.
We could tell.
Yeah.
That's not a secret. If it was on video.
The only reason why I won Class Dancer was just because I made up a bunch of moves, and everyone loved it.
Show us one.
Well,
he's kind of glued to his chair now.
Yeah, I can't get up and really show you. I'm glued to my chair.
Uh-huh.
Literally, Roger glued in there.
Well, yes, well yes. One move was the Q-tip where, you know, you pretend you're rubbing a Q-tip in your ear and then throw it away. And then do that in the other ear and throw it away.
Oh, you're the one that's responsible for that travesty. I mean, that dance move. Okay.
And you're not supposed to put Q-tips in your ear.
No.
Didn't your mother ever tell you that?
She did, but I do it anyways.
Who doesn't at this point? But yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk Q-tips or even dance moves, as depressing as that might be.
Or Q-tips related to dance moves.
Of course. Because who wants to discuss that? No, we want to talk about that thing that's affecting all of our lives more than anything else?
Snow. Yep. We got some.
Yeah, we do.
Plenty.
But, you know, I mean, the schools are going to have to deal with this later as well because, you know, they certainly don't want kids going when they've got the cold temperatures and all that stuff. But then they're going to be coming up against not having enough hours as mandated by the state.
Yeah. Well, and you don't want the school administrators weighing whether or not they should have school based on not having those hours.
Mm-hmm.
You really want them to make the decision on the safety of kids waiting for buses.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, there is one solution that apparently state reps are considering. State Representative Phil Potvin says that he's going to be authoring a one-time law that would allow schools that that exhausted their snow days to add hours to existing school days. I don't know that that's such a grand idea because schools are going to go, great, what are we going to do with this time? But it's at least a thought to say, all right, how do we do this so that we're not going to school into July? Because nobody wants that either.
Yeah, but it does get complicated because working parents depend on some sort of a regular school schedule, and I'm suspecting there may be contract implications.
Probably, probably
in the number of hours worked or number of days worked. It's undoubtedly complex.
It's certainly an idea. I wonder. And this is just a top of my head kind of thing, so it might be totally wrong. But could the state enact something to just say, all right, anybody that's over it this year, we're going to forgive you and just move on? Because if you think about that, the way that they go through the educational days and all of that stuff, at the end of school, they're not doing a whole lot of teaching anyway. So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just a thought.
But is that penalizing the kids because they missed some of that education?
I don't know. I'm sure they would say no, but...
of course.
Yeah.
Show continues. Keep it here. Program is Lawrence and Taylor. My name is Jeremy Lawrence, so it stands to reason he might be Roger over there, are you?
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
Had to check your ID there for a minute. Okay. All right. You know what? I don't know about you, but I love going to minor league baseball games. And not just for the baseball.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
more
they
of a community event.
They do all sorts of things at these games. You know, and I've gone to major league baseball games. Somewhat enjoyable, certainly. But minor league, they do some crazy stuff. I mean, one time we went to a minor league game, and I got roped into doing some sort of stunt in the outfield.
Really?
Involves like catch a sub kind of thing or something like that. So we didn't do very well.
Was it fired out of a cannon,
the sub
you had to catch?
Yes, it was. Well, sub, it was just this thing that was the shape of a sub. But it was fired out of their T-shirt cannon and sent out to us. We had this big sheet. We're running back and forth in the outfield trying to catch these things. So,
I would have liked to have seen a video of that. We could have posted that to our website.
And the videos have been safely burned. Thank you. But
Michael's got a traffic thing he wants to talk about.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Two more traffic incidents. There's a car stuck on the westbound I-94 ramp heading onto southbound 131. And then there's also an accident at eastbound 94 at exit 92. That's the M37 exit, and it's backed up about 4 miles. And then the two that I talked about earlier, the accident at East Main and Sprinkle, that has now been cleared up. And the spinoff on eastbound I-94 near M40, it's actually involving a semi. I guess he spun out another pickup truck, and the pickup truck's pretty smashed, and there's cops on the scene there.
So that one ain't going away quick.
That one's not going away quickly.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so there you go. Be careful as you head around the area and just watch out for the other guy, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the best way to say it. But anyway, we got into this discussion of minor league baseball and all the silly things they do to discuss this, because I think this just screams minor league baseball.
Well, game. And it's taken the T-shirt cannon to a whole new level.
To which most guys would say, cool.
Cool. Yeah.
But there's a guy, he's actually in the Villages in Florida. That's that retirement community, so yeah. Unique and all that.
North of Orlando.
Well, they generally buzz around there on golf carts, but he decided a golf cart wasn't enough.
He buzzes around in a replica of an M1 tank.
Yeah. Complete with the cannon.
Yes.
Which he has outfitted to be able to shoot T-shirts.
And tennis balls, it seems.
Apparently. Yes. So, you know, if you want to practice tennis, there's a unique way to do it. Have a tank shoot them at you.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got this thing. He says that the engine on it will make it roll about walking speed, so it doesn't move real fast. But he does want to speed it up a little bit, because that would be nice.
It runs on a motorcycle engine, you
apparently,
said?
Yes. Yeah. Motorcycle engine. He built it in his garage, says he worked 10 to 12 hours a day. Just off of pictures of a tank.
You know, I think we need to post this video on our page.
We'll have to figure that one out.
Yeah, because this tank is really sort of cool.
Now, he says he doesn't know what in the world he's going to do at this point, but he said something about there's been talk about him going to sporting events. Oh, yeah, that's going to happen, definitely, there.
I'm thinking your minor league baseball parts.
he's going to have to shoot those T-shirts from the outfield. Otherwise, it'll take a fan's hand off.
Well, you know, I've always felt like when I've been at those minor league games, because I'm also cheap, so I sit in the upper section of seats and all that, they can't get the T-shirts up there. So for the people up in the upper deck, you know, it's something like this. Hey, finally, I get an opportunity in a T-shirt. Yeah, it might come straight at my head, but hey, no problem.
Right.
That's fine.
If it was a free T-shirt, I mean, hello.
Free T-shirt and a fun way of getting it, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's more than just this little thing or the slingshot that some of them do.
Yeah.
You know, they just slingshot. I was at a Houston Astros game. That's how they do it there. And they got this huge stadium. I'm sitting up here going, hello!
I've got
up here.
I'm in the nosebleeds.
I've got one of those huge slingshots to fire tennis balls for my dog.
Oh, okay.
And first time it went 200 feet. Mm-hmm. I lost a ball in the pasture behind my house. I never thought it was going to go that far.
And the dog's going, I ain't going back there.
Well, they hit the fence. Speaking of hitting the fence.
Yes.
We've already heard from listeners that roads are apparently a little slippery out there.
Apparently it is a problem.
Are we going to get some snow, Bob?
We are going to get some snow.
How much snow, Bob?
Well, that leads to, I'll start with the word. The word is double.
Double?
And this is one of those days where I really need two words, but double as in a double dose of snow, a double shot, a double play, or however you wish to phrase it. Part one occurs this evening. Part two occurs tomorrow night and Saturday, but let's focus on part one first. And snow is a moving in for the west. Should start here in the next hour or two. It's windy, a wind from the south, so we got some blowing snow. It's not as cold as it has been, so the snow is softening up a little bit that's on the ground, and I guess that's what's leading to some slippery spots. When you've put a little snow on top of that, that makes it even all the more slippery. We're only expecting an inch or less of snow, so it's not like a big storm coming tonight, but that is going to be enough to make roads slick. The snow will end by late tonight. It won't snow all that long, but snow is on the way, and a winter weather advisory is in effect. That lasts till 1 a.m. That's part one.
Okay.
Ready for part two.
But wait, there's more.
There absolutely is more, and unfortunately, part two is the stronger of the two systems. We're talking about a significant amount of snow for the Friday night, Saturday time frame. Snow actually will fall heavily at times later Friday night and Saturday. And right now we're expecting 4 to 6 inches. And winter storm watch is in effect for that storm. That kicks in late Friday night, goes through Saturday evening. There is potential for it to be even a little bit more than that 4 to 6 inches, but certainly wanted to get the word out that we're at least talking about several inches of snow with that second system. And after that goes away, it gets colder again, not as severely cold as earlier this week, but after reaching the upper 20s to maybe 30 on Saturday, Ooh. We're back to colder weather Sunday and Monday, and then maybe more snow Tuesday. So we just can't quite shake this.
Now, well, you warned us.
Now, Bob, I was going to ask, too, because I've been looking for a silver lining, much like you have, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I found myself looking at, I think it was probably like a 10 or 12-day forecast or something like that. And they were saying we might end up with above freezing out at the, you know, like 10-day mark or something like that. Are we still looking at that? I know that changes all the time, but.
I don't believe so, but I will say this. There is an outside chance we could briefly get to near or even just above freezing late Saturday afternoon at the tail end of that storm. We're predicting 29 for a high right now on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be completely shocked if it ended up being 32 or 3 for a while.
Mm.
After that, I'm not sure. It may be, yeah, maybe 10 days from now, maybe like the following, the weekend after the Super Bowl, that at some point down the road there, but even that's kind of a stretch.
I mean, you know, we're trying to latch on to anything here,
that
Bob,
we are.
Really.
So I have two footnotes to go along with the two storms, and one of them I've already touched on, the footnote that the idea that, hey, there is the possibility we could briefly flirt with a freezing mark or a 32-degree mark late Saturday. The other one is not quite as enjoyable. That's the idea that between these two storms, speaking about late tonight and tomorrow morning, there will be a few snow flurries and maybe a few pockets of freezing drizzle.
Ooh.
And that's not a pleasant thought. I can tell you that from a travel standpoint, since we'll have a fresh covering of snow on the ground, freezing drizzle on top of that doesn't necessarily, it's not the same as freezing drizzle on bare pavement where everything turns into a sheet of ice. But what that would do is that it may mean that there could be some scraping of the windshields that need to take place tomorrow morning rather than just brushing the snow off. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
Bob, a week ago you mentioned that this was going to be Gulf moisture making its way north. Is that the case in either of these storms?
Actually, not these first two, but the one that I talked about for Tuesday would be.
Okay.
And maybe another one that follows at the very end of next week, but obviously that far out details are sketchy. But not these first two, but the next two, probably yes.
Okie doke.
All right, Bob Larson from AccuWeather, thanks for checking in with us.
And I wish you had better news. I keep trying.
Well, and we'll get month-to-date, year-to-date, both tomorrow.
That's right.
Friday afternoon.
All right, we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow with another storm coming along and the Friday numbers.
Sounds good. Have a good one, my friend.
Thank you, Roger.
All right, Bob Larson from AccuWeather, and as we continue along with the program, you know I'm still fascinated by that tank. I really am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'd like to see their driver with that in my yard.
Is he going to shoot tennis balls for your dog to fetch?
I don't care. I just, she's a pretty blonde.
Show continues. Keep it here.
Don't get stuck in traffic.
Honk, honk.
Traffic. Text traffic to 80373. Just another service of WKZO.
Attention parents of young children.
The following is a partial list of things that are probably happening in your backseat
that you are completely unaware of.
A food item is probably being stuffed into a crack.
A strange sticky substance is being spread everywhere.
Deep, sustained nasal exploration.
Someone is probably making faces.
Hitting. Hitting back.
The cleaning of muddy shoes.
Farting!
Something is probably spilling.
Gum is lodging in hair.
And your kids are probably riding car seats that are being used incorrectly. In fact, 3 out of 4 kids are not as safe as they should be. But the latch system is in most cars and makes it easier to get it right.
Just attach the top tether and the lower anchors.
The ones down near the old sandwich and the melted down crayons.
Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety.
A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Lawrence and Taylor continuing here on a, this is a Thursday, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. Yep. All
it's been
day.
Such a long week. You just kind of, okay. And here we are again.
Yes.
I have to stare at Roger a little bit longer.
Yes.
Okay.
You get to do that 2 hours every day.
Ugh.
And they pay you for this. Just being here with me should be reward enough. No?
There's so many comments I can make. There's just, I'm not even sure which direction to go at this point. So
I just put them on the tee for you. And
yeah, you know, at this point I will choose none of them because I'd rather not go there.
But, okay.
Yeah, there's, you know, we talked, and I think we talked a little bit about it yesterday. Certainly the president has talked about it ad nauseum, the whole concept of a minimum wage increase.
Yeah.
From where it is currently federally, it's $7.25. State of Michigan actually has it $7.40.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been this talk about, well, let's raise the minimum wage. And I think the president was talking about, let's take it up to $10.10 or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And
I believe his plan.
And the interesting thing about it has been there has been some talk. There's an article that's on MLive today talking about small businesses and how they deal with the minimum wage, should it go up. Now, there's certainly some support for the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about an increase between $7.25, the federal level where it is now, and let's just say they took it up to $10, that's a pretty big chunk for small business owners to be able to go, all right, how do we put that in there and be able to afford things on a profit margin that's very small?
Well, but it goes beyond just small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, it comes down to, can we as taxpayers continue to subsidize both large and small businesses that can't pay their help a living wage and leaves people who were working full-time even without enough money to get out of poverty? And then we have programs like food stamps and other programs that come in to assist those people. But is it really fair that the taxpayers subsidize some big businesses, Walmart and McDonald's, and some small businesses because they can't afford to pay a living wage? I don't know what the answer is to the question, but taking money out of taxpayers to subsidize businesses who can't pay a living wage bothers me.
Well, at the same time, though, a lot of these jobs where they make minimum wage or close to it end up being low-skilled labor and that kind of stuff. I mean, you're talking about flipping burgers or things like that. I mean, waiting tables is another thing entirely, which we could get into a discussion on. I don't think we want to do that here. But, I mean, this is going to be the stuff where it's strictly entry level into job markets, the kind of thing that in a good economy where things are humming and jobs are readily available, these are the kind of jobs that, for the most part, 16 and 17-year-olds get. You know,
McDonald's, for instance,
mm-hmm.
The average worker is 28 mm-hmm. or something, and we're not talking kids here with a part-time job after high school.
Which is why I said when the economy is working well, that's where the jobs go.
Okay.
So,
but the economy isn't working well, and that's not who are in these jobs mm-hmm. at this point in time.
Well, regardless, does that not show that we need to maybe do something that's a little bit more of a let's spur the economy, let's get some of these jobs here that we need to get, instead of having people, say, flip burgers and do it part-time, because that's what most of them are doing. There's not too many full-timers at McDonald's. They just don't do that. Don't you think we need to do some different things? Instead of looking at minimum wage, maybe look at something so that there's an awful lot of people that are going to make way above that because we got government out of the way and industries could hire. Couldn't we do something like that? Because here's the thing.
That's really ambiguous. How are you going to do that?
Well, here's the thing. If you look at, you talk about minimum wage and they say, well, let's raise minimum wage. Okay. Well, in this particular article, they talk about some of these businesses that say, you know what? If we raise the minimum wage, I'm going to have to raise prices on things in order to pay for people to work here because I can't afford to do anything else. We've got to raise prices. Now, if you did that, if you decided minimum wage goes up, prices are going to go up in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
So if prices go up on all sorts of things, whether it's shopping at Walmart or Target or whether it's on a Big Mac or anything like that, suddenly the cost of living goes up. And these same people that you gave a raise to are in the same boat they were before. They can't afford it now because prices have gone up on everything because we put the minimum wage up.
What do you think we should do, though, about these companies, large corporations that depend on paying low wages for their business model and depend on the government to pick up the slack? It's easy to feel sorry for a small business who's facing this, but we have large corporations who part of their business strategy is to abuse governmental programs to support their employees because they don't pay a reasonable wage that somebody can live on.
Part of their strategy is to pay people entry-level wages because the jobs are not high-skilled labor and that kind of thing. So I think instead...
So you're comfortable with the government subsidizing...
Roger, let me finish. Decaffeinate yourself, my friend. You always do
Have
that.
You had
you
too
jump
much
in,
caffeine again?
You jump in and try and finish my sentence for me, and you don't let me finish what I'm saying. And you put words in my mouth.
You've had too much caffeine again today.
I haven't had a drop of caffeine.
Really?
You just decided to jump in and finish my sentence. You know I hate it. Stop doing it. Okay?
No. When you get silly.
I'm in the middle of a thought. It is a thought I'm trying to share, and apparently I can't share it with anybody because you decide to finish my sentences for me.
Somebody needs to.
Well, fair enough then. I guess we're going to stop the discussion right here.
Okay.
Because you won't have a conversation with me. You want to continue talking and continue sharing your ideas, but I don't get to share them because you decide you're going to talk over me. That's exactly what you're saying.
I can hear the violins now, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just keep talking over me. That'll be pleasant for people. They'll get to hear your ideas and nothing that I has to say matters because apparently it's all wrong anyway.
Well, yes, but go ahead.
Oh, you're going to allow me to talk. Thank you so much,
Roger. I'll allow you to be wrong.
That. So what I'm saying, all along what I've been saying is, let's get government out of the way of industry to be able to create jobs and get some things moving. Something we're going to talk about a little later in the program is just that. You know, we've talked about the Keystone Pipeline. How many jobs would that create alone?
A couple hundred.
If we finally decided, hey, you know what? Let's build this pipeline. Let's get this together. Let's get things moving. It's going to be more than a couple of hundred as well.
Nope.
But I guess that makes it okay. All right. Roger's right because he said nope. All right. Let's take a time out for traffic. Michael, you got something for us?
Yes, I do. A couple accidents out there on eastbound I-94. The first one is around exit 121. Traffic is backed up for a couple of miles. And then the other accident is at mile marker 59. Traffic is down to one lane in that region. Both those accidents, once again, are on eastbound I-94.
Okay. All right. Continue to be careful as you head out there and check out those roads because things are just slick out there.
Has it started snowing outside? Have you looked?
I haven't looked. I will look at the top of the hour here.
Okay.
And speaking of which, the top of the hour is coming here pretty quickly. So we definitely will continue our discussion of the minimum wage. And you can take part in it as well, because you know what? Roger wants to talk over somebody else. So 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. Name of the program is Lawrence and Taylor.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.